Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 201, sponsored by Manscaped. Today, we're here with a sponsor for your bouncing bundle of joy. No, we're not talking about a baby. We're talking about your baby makers. That's right. Today's show is brought to you by Manscaped. But just like babies, your delicate little guys have sensitive skin and deserve products that are not only skin safe, but made with safe ingredients. That's where Manscaped Platinum Package comes in. From razors to shower care, this package goes above the gold standard for your body hair. So treat your beautiful boys to the world's finest toys at manscaped.com and use the code WESAYTHINGS20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Okay, that's one of the best ones they've sent.
I was just going to say, that's a really good one. They upped their game for that one.
We're not talking about a baby. We're talking about your baby makers. So as always, guys, if you are in need of any, really any product that requires shaving or anything in the bathroom, pretty much that isn't related to the toilet itself and grooming.
Oh, the Manscaped bidet, though.
Manscaped. I mean, I'm telling you, that's the next step for them.
That's the next step, yeah.
Yeah, they've been a longtime sponsor, so if obviously we're able to keep them, if people continue to order products, order them if you need them, but they do have good products we can recommend. So manscaped.com and use the We Say Things 20 promo code for 20% off and free shipping. Thank you, Manscaped. Also, thank you to our In Bruges tier. Thank you to the Shaz cast, Suns fan Sauna Scroat, Mr. I Love the NBA segment, Kareem Abudge Jabbar. Nice. Monkey Man says, I am now terrified of home invasion, so sorry that happened to you. Thank you. Pepperballs, T. Coyle, Q. Ludes hopes we can get a Kezu guest episode one day. He truly is the poor man's Cinderin, hashtag not an ad. Stupid Copilot, D2 Bowie, Lab Dota, Yatoro does it again, Cinderin.
Yeah, this time it's good. This time if you keep saying it all the time, eventually, you know?
Magdev, love the first Between the Lanes blog feature and hopes the next one talks about new player experience in time for TI-12. We're literally not even talking about that on the podcast. I didn't find it in...
I thought about putting in the outline. I don't know if it's like...
Eh. I've been a patron for almost 2 years with the main purpose of supporting Dota and getting Valve off their asses. Did it work?
Yes.
Disco Farm
D. Make sure you stay a Patreon.
Disco Farm D, Retail Ronnie, and Deep Deep Discounts. The Mega Pope and Carrot Cake is best served with cream cheese icing, true or false, TI in New Zealand.
We answered that last time, and it's a resounding yes, without a doubt. Also, thank you to Zan Xavier, Nate Thicco, 01 Hamscroats, Shark TM, Antiquely Seasoned Goat Balls. All right, that's new. Janie, Dop, Nothing to See Here, Underscore Man, Guitar Strings, Yvremont, Ben Broomhead is Ben Broomhead is Ben Broomhead, Wooden Aftertaste, Anonymous, and Avocado got its name from the... I don't know what this language is. From the Nahuatl word ahuacatl, meaning testicle due to its shape. Mr. Niebling. I've actually heard this before, that avocado is named after a testicle, but I probably really butchered that language. Thank you guys so much for your continued patronage for the podcast. And if you're listening to the podcast or viewing the podcast on YouTube or whatever, and you want to be a part of this, you can go to patreon.com/wesaythings. There's different tiers. I believe the lowest tier you can chip in support of the podcast, I think it's $2 a month, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right, and you get nothing.
That was the lowest one. Yeah. Except you support this amazing show that we put on almost every week.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
That's right. And in this amazing show, We'll start out with everyone's favorite topic that is not the NBA topic. So, in other words, the second most sought-after topic, the Suns fan recommends.
Oh, yeah.
I have a new TV show for everybody. It's only 8 episodes. There's only one season. It's on Amazon Prime. It's called Jury Duty. So let me give you the premise. It's fucking hilarious. We watched it in one day.
Okay. In one day? How long are the episodes?
Well, in 24 hours, let's say. We've watched like 4 episodes, and we went to bed, and we watched the next 4 episodes. So within 24 hours. They're 30 minutes a piece, I think.
Okay. All right. All right.
So I actually haven't looked it up who made this, like what director, what producer, whatever, but it gives
Lee
off the same.
Eisenberg and Gene Stupnitsky.
I don't know the names anyway. So, but the point is, I gave some recommendations a while back that I know a lot of people did not bother watching because they're mockumentaries, but I'm telling you, if you're not a moron, you will like these shows. American Vandal season 1 and 2, and then Players, which is the mockumentary of League of Legends made by the same people.
What this if I show, am a moron?
Well, then you can continue on being ignorant to the world and great things, like In Bruges for 100 episodes.
That sounds perfect for me.
Yeah, it does. So this show, the reason I bring that up is because it gives some of the same vibes, but I don't think it's actually made by the same people. But so this is the premise, Sindarin.
Mm-hmm.
They have a courtroom that is fake, okay? And they have, you know how jury duty works? I don't know if it works the mm-hmm. same way where you guys are, but people they're forced to go in.
What I think.
People are forced to go in when they get something in the mail occasionally, jury duty. Sometimes you're picked, like you end up getting picked by the prosecutor or defendant or whatever. I don't know the names of the legal shit. So they created a completely fake case, fake courtroom, fake judge, fake lawyers, fake jury, except one person on the jury was a real person that didn't know everyone was actors. Okay? And mm-hmm. they fuck with him so hard. It is hilarious. Extremely well done. I'm not going to spoil anything. It is incredible, though. Holy shit. I was blown away by how good of an idea. The only problem is, I don't know how you do a season 2, because then, I mean, you have to find somebody that has not seen the show, which maybe there's a lot, but it's such a cool idea. And one of the people...
I think after this has become a Suns fan recommends, I think everyone will see it. So you can't really run a second season anymore.
That's of course. The show is called...
You basically did this.
The show is called Jury Duty. And they even have a... So the way they get away with it, which is cool, is basically they tell everybody, well, in this case, it's just the one guy that doesn't know ahead of time, but they make it like a documentary type, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where they're like, hey, we're going to, you know, this is a real case, blah, blah, blah. We're going to be interviewing you to see what it's like to be a juror. So they're following around with cameras. That's how they get away with this guy feeling like it's actually real, because everybody else is getting interviewed the same, but they're all actors and he doesn't know that, right?
Right.
So it's really cool. Highly recommend. You'll know if you like it within the first episode. So, yeah. That's the Suns fan recommends for this week. Congratulations, all right, everybody, on another great watch.
On another great recommendation, Shannon. Another
that's right.
For the
oh, you know what? Now that we're on this topic, TV. And it's a little bit of a light episode, another Suns fan recommends, real quickly. I recommended Silo, the TV show on Apple. I read the book. It's 3 books. I've read the first one. I'm in the middle of the second one. Extremely fucking good. Highly recommend.
Didn't you already recommend that last time?
I recommended the TV show, not the book.
I thought you also recommended the book, or said it was good so far or something.
Okay, maybe I forgot.
Maybe that was not on the podcast. I don't know.
Either way, if you like to read and you're not a moron, enjoy.
Here we go again.
Enjoy.
I'm disqualified.
Okay, so let's...
No, so I quickly have a...
Ooh.
I said I was going to give a verdict on this, and I actually kind of forgot to do it the last couple of episodes, but I'll give it now that I've had it sink in and I've thought about it and I've seen what they've done. So I will give my verdict on Diablo 4, the video game by Blizzard, because we've been talking about in the past multiple times in the past about how video game companies are doing now that I'm... With good reason, I would say, losing more and more faith in Blizzard and how they've been making their games. And for me, Diablo 4 was kind of like, I'm not going to say like the final chance, but I was like, okay, if they're going to fuck this up with all the experience they've had and everything they've done, then they're just you know, out of touch compared to what they used to be. This is almost poetic. There's, I have a song playing faintly in the background called Out of Touch, Shannon. It's very topical for
this. Why are you listening to music?
I listen to music all the time.
While we podcast, you listen to music?
Softly in the background, yes.
When you cast, you listen to music?
Not when I cast. Not when I cast and not when I backup record for you, obviously, because then I can't listen to music.
Okay,
otherwise, I listen.
You can continue. I'm just going to say, I think that's weird, but maybe other people would disagree with me.
I think a lot of people would agree with having just faint music on in the background.
ASMR makes sense.
You also listen to background music when you're in a restaurant, right? It's just there while you're having conversations. It's not like distracting.
Yeah, but I didn't agree to it. Anyway, continue.
Okay, so anyway, I had fun with Diablo 4 for the first, I don't know how many hours, but a decent amount. And now I have lost basically all interest in it after I finished the campaign, more or less.
Mm. I heard the same from a lot of people.
It feels like a game that was published because it had to be, and it needed to be passable for players, but it does not have the longevity that Diablo 2 did, and it currently does also not have the longevity that Diablo 3 ended up having. It's very possible this becomes a good game over the next year or year and a half as they patch it, but ultimately that might fall under the same issues that Diablo 3 did, where that game got significantly improved later on, is what I heard, but a lot of players just don't come back, including myself. I didn't really come back to Diablo 3. So I'm not going to say this game was terrible, because the first playthrough was fun. I was enjoying myself, but Diablo games do get pretty monotonous in a way, right? But one of the major downsides to this game, in my opinion, compared to Diablo 2 in particular, is there's no trading. And I feel like that's one of the things that gives longevity to these multiplayer games of this kind, like hack and slash games or like this monotony, is that the trading scene and finding something cool for something else can in turn get you something cool for yourself. But you cannot trade between characters. The loot you find is a shitload of the same stuff with slight modifications. There's just not much variety because stuff that drops is primarily for your character. Truly unique items are few and far in between compared to earlier versions. So I just didn't find the gearing up system as rewarding. On top of that, Diablo 4 has dynamic leveling in zones, which has one upside and one upside only, in my opinion, which is that you can play with friends of different level. So let's say you have a character that's level 50 and your friend is level 20, you can actually play together in the same zone because it just adjusts for your power level. The downside is the whole feeling of RPGs and getting more powerful gets lost because the areas just scale with you. So you never become like super powerful in one area while being weak or unable to do another for the most part. It's like very few exceptions in the game. And that like feeling of leveling up and progressing your character, I feel like is a huge part of RPGs. So for me, that's a mega miss. It's what I always loved about the original World of Warcraft experience, how you traverse between areas, you get stronger, then things that used to be too hard are suddenly possible. Like maybe you barely can manage it and then you feel really rewarded because you did something difficult. In Diablo 4, the majority of it is not really difficult and it's not really too engaging with how you're improving your character. So I don't think they're going to change that system, which means that for me, that's like one of the biggest downsides of the game completely. Will probably not be changed. They've dabbled in that direction in World of Warcraft and some of the more recent retail versions as well with dynamic zones. I don't know if they did away with it in the last one. Maybe they did. I just don't like the system at all. I don't think any game should have it.
How does that work exactly? So you're level 50, your friend's level 20.
Yeah.
And so you get scaled down to 20? Essentially?
I don't know how it works in essence. I think the way it works, to my understanding, is that the higher level character will carry the area more than the lower level one. So if you're level 50 and you're playing with a level 20, you're doing most of the work, but you have to compensate for the fact that you're two players. So effectively, it's probably just harder than playing alone. The problem with the system is there's no good implementation, right? Because if you take level 50 and level 20 and you average the area out to level 35, the level 50 guy will just crush it completely because scaling isn't linear, right? And if scaling is linear, then leveling up is not interesting. Mm. What's funny about leveling up in video games is that you hit power spikes, right? You get a new spell that's fucking awesome. You get some really cool quest reward that makes you way more powerful than you were before. Instead of getting plus one intelligence, you know, like some sort of fucking robotic level up system. I would know a thing or two about that. So yeah, I guess to give me my rating, is this game worth $60 to $80 or whatever it costs? Honestly, probably not. I don't think it was a particularly good purchase. If I think about what other games I could buy for that price, I ended up spending more hours and having more fun with Hades, and it cost a quarter or something like that.
A quarter of that, not a literal quarter.
Yeah. Well, that would be insane. Let me check. I'll check my playtime in Hades. I have 82 hours total in Hades, and I definitely have less than that in Diablo 4, and Hades cost like $20.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a couple of things Blizzard probably learned from past experience in this game, but it's not getting me that Golden Age of Blizzard vibe once again, unfortunately. So, gotta look elsewhere for that. The closest you get to it right now in Blizzard games is still Classic WoW, and that's because Classic WoW is a rehash of an old game that was great, and therefore it is great. Pretty much.
Okay.
I don't know what score I would give it Diablo 4. It's hard to give a score to something that's meant to have longevity, but is only good on one playthrough, really.
Mm.
Yeah, don't know.
So are you severely disappointed or just disappointed?
Just disappointed.
Because you went after the low expectations.
Severely disappointed would be if it wasn't even fun to play through the game, right?
Mm.
But it's still disappointing that for a game and a franchise that's that iconic, they've just not hit that magic that they did from the first two games, in my opinion.
Mm. Okay. Well, yep. Thank you for that review,
Syndrin.
That
was a long monologue. So Syndrin does not necessarily recommend Diablo 4, but you shouldn't absolutely not buy it if you like those kind of games. But it's not the best of them.
Yes.
There you go.
Well, thank you.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Okay, let us move on to the Riyadh Masters, which will be our main topic for today. We have a couple of smaller topics afterwards, but we'll try to break this down a bit. So I thought we would talk about the tournament itself in terms of like what teams did well, what teams didn't, and then branch off from there, talk a little bit about some extracurricular stuff. So how much of this did you watch from the early stage?
I haven't really been watching the games very much. I've been staying up to date with how the tournament was progressing. So I know the main storylines and everything, but like very detailed stuff about specific games is way more your ballpark for this. I mean, you were there, so you were casting quite a lot of them, right?
Yes.
I think you got your hands on especially one very epic one, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So, okay, I guess we can just start with the groups. There were two groups. And two teams were eliminated with each group. Those teams were OG, which were using Seb as a stand-in. Extreme Gaming, so Chinese team out. TSM, and Shopify. Now, for that group, there was a three-way tie between Tundra, TSM, and Shopify. Only one could go through to the lower bracket, and Tundra ended up winning the tiebreaker. So NA got eliminated in the group stage. And neither of the teams looked particularly good, so it wasn't really that big of a surprise. For Tundra, we should talk about Soxa, who I don't even know if my content got aired. I guess somebody in the chat eventually can tell us if people that, because I didn't really get to watch all the content that was aired, but the first 4 days it was like a 4-day media day. It was really strange, and I did some content with two teams. One was Gaming Gladiators and one was Tundra. And when basically I went and talked to AUI and Soxa together, and we had like a little game show type thing where I would ask very, like, how well do you know your teammate? And I'd ask really stupid questions, like, what kind of underwear do you wear? Shit like that. Which I think that's probably why they didn't air it, because I mentioned underwear. Mm. But Soxa looked great, seemed very happy. Obviously, he's had, before this event, we didn't really know why he had to get subbed out for a couple tournaments prior. He's taken some breaks, along with some of the other members as well. Mm-hmm. But I think like a day or two, was it like 2 days after the tournament started, he had to be subbed out for AUI, and then he just went home again. Mm. So I think this is the second big tournament that he's done this. And then he actually tweeted something, which, let me actually bring up exactly what the tweet is so I don't butcher it. So Soxa tweeted,
Suns fan.
Yeah, we'll talk about that later. Okay, he X'd, have been struggling a bit lately with anxiety, sleep, and mental health, and due to that, I won't be playing more at Riyadh. Sorry to my teammates and Tundra for doing this last minute, and thankful for them supporting me this whole time. So, first and foremost, and I messaged him privately as well, I hope that he's okay. Stuff like this is, first of all, I think it's very brave to come out and say something. I think it's actually good as well for both him mm-hmm. and other people that might be struggling with the same type of stuff. But I'm hoping that they can figure things out for TI, because that's obviously not great for both him and the team, because they looked really good before they had to sub in AUI. It's nothing against AUI, because, I mean, can't really get much better coach to fill in, but still, it's Soxa.
It's hard to be Soxa.
Yeah, and plus they're switching positions, because Snake King goes to 4 instead of 5. AUI is playing 5. So, anyway, they make it to the lower bracket, and how do you usually go through this? Some of the games were... So, I will say, from the playoff perspective, these were some of the most entertaining games of Dota that I can remember. Mm-hmm. And I remember a lot of people saying this is saying the same thing as me, but then many people coming back and saying this is, it's just because it's recency bias. I don't think it is. Maybe it's because I was casting. These games were beyond epic. On average, I think this was the most entertaining tournament ever.
Ever?
Ever, yes. Like, on average, okay, game to game.
Might be recency bias.
In the playoffs, for me.
But.
Incredible games. Group stage, not as great. Mm. But, yeah, the playoffs, I thought, were exceptional. And I think the finals, I didn't get to see the final game, because I had to take a flight. But outside of that, the finals were, and the lower, like, the last day, maybe, is the worst games of the playoffs. Which is weird. Anyway. Quest went to the upper bracket, and they had a very weird thing happen to them as well, Sindarin. There was a disconnect in the middle of a team fight against Game and Gladiators. This was in the lower bracket, so I guess we should mention. See, I'm doing a terrible... This is usually you doing this. I'm doing a terrible job at recapping shit.
It's not that hard. You just go through the chronology one step at a time.
Well, one step at a time, just mentioning 8 teams that play each other. Like, nobody wants to hear that garbage.
Okay, well, then you can talk about the top 4.
Yeah, but some cool stuff happened before that.
Okay.
Which is this. So Game and Gladiators, they
You're
lose.
Doing great.
Game and Gladiators lose in the first round, which everybody's really excited about, because every single major, every single big tournament, they've been upper bracket kings, and they haven't lost a game. So they lose
and
first
they lost
round
to Liquid for
to
the first
Liquid.
Time in fucking eternity.
They lose 2-1 to Liquid. They go to lower bracket. They play Quest, and there's a very weird game where at a crucial point where Quest was in their base, the entire Quest team disconnects, and then it's paused like a couple seconds later. It's right at the beginning of a big team fight, so there's a long pause, and there's Quest what's the word they contest the fact mm-hmm. that this game should be remade, basically, because I can't remember the exact specifics, but something happened in the fight. Like, this should have happened, but because we disconnected, it was like mid-dive for a Phoenix, for example, couldn't get off his egg. Mm-hmm. Their carry died. They did end up killing the carry of Game and Gladiators, Duraccio, which I believe they unpaused without saying anything. That was another kind of weird thing that happened. So there's this really long-ass pause, and then eventually mm-hmm. The admins decided that because the game continued after, you know, 20 minutes and then ended after the fact, that even though this fight did have some impact on the game, we can't really say one way or the other if it was enough to overturn or just to remake completely, because it was like halfway through the game already. So right. That was one of those controversial calls, which did you catch any of that? Because a lot of
I know it happened.
Of the analysts were it was split people.
Yeah.
It was really split.
Dota is a really difficult game to gauge the impact of something like that in, because sometimes one hero dying or one hero surviving or one hero miscasting their spells or whatever makes a relatively minor difference, and other times it decides the entire game. And it's not, you can't just black and white look at the situation and be like, yep, this is definitely that kind of situation. They would have lost anyway, or they definitely win. It's too complex for that. That's why the game never gets solved, is you just don't know. So it is very tricky, because you could argue that it's unfair to the winning team to remake if they were having a great fight and then, you know, tech issues happens for the other team and you do a full-on remake. The winning team will argue, well, we were going to win that fight anyway and the outcome would have been similar. And the losing team will argue it ruined everything and this fight was the one that was going to decide the game. Yeah. And you can't really tell them, no, you're definitely wrong, because even if it's a fight minute 5, it has huge implication of what happens minute 40. Obviously, it's easier to remake a game if it's minute 5, because you can be like, okay, you know, like, how much have we actually played out of the total of the game? If it happens minute 30, was this going to be a 35-minute game? Was it going to be a 70-minute game? Who the fuck knows,
right? So I don't remember the exact timing, but I'm going to say roughly it was like 30 to 35 minutes in already, and then it lasted another 15 after the pause came to be.
Yeah. The thing that's unfortunate, let me give you a hypothetical situation where the whole team disconnects, the game gets paused shortly after, but the team that is the beneficiaries of this and didn't know that the other team was crashing managed to kill the enemy carry, and nothing else happened. They just killed the carry, so they kill one player. Even if that's the end of it and things disengage, that carry dying could have been the outcome of the fight instead of a, you know, 4-1 for the other team if they clutch it out, save their carry, or trade him away massively, right? And there's no way of knowing if that's the case. Certain heroes are really polarizing in that aspect. You mentioned Phoenix. It's the perfect example of a hero that can come up huge in a fight or just fall completely flat based on spell casting. And if you don't get to cast your spells, you don't really know. So
yeah.
Yeah. I don't envy the admins for having to make this decision, because it's really difficult. Like, in an ideal scenario, you could just reload from 2 minutes ago, but that's a functionality we haven't had since Source 1. I think Valve did away with it. I don't know why, if it's because it was too difficult to upkeep, if it was too buggy, if they felt like the game was so incredibly stable now that any issues happening would always be local. And this was a local issue, right? It wasn't the server. It was the PCs crashing, right?
No, incorrect.
It was actually the server.
No, so this is the belief of the admins and all the talent, is that it was a Valve thing, a networking thing, but it's not, it wasn't a computer networking thing, if that makes sense.
Okay, so if it wasn't local, then yeah, this is
so
the perfect kind of case for...
Yeah, so this is why it was so difficult, and I can understand both sides. I think if I was an admin, this is what I said, not that I had any say, but since I've had experience in this, you have to make a call relatively quick. You can't let it linger, which it did a bit, and I think you just have to make a hard call, because neither case, neither choice is going to be looked... It's not going to be perfect, right? There's no correct choice here. And I think if it was a PC thing and it's the venue or the tournament organizer's fault, those computers, I think a remake makes more sense.
But because it's Valve,
which is what we're assuming, then I think this was the correct choice as well. Especially considering the game continued on for quite a while. The fight, I mean, who knows what would have happened in that fight. But yeah, it was a weird one. So anyway,
I feel like this is a good case for, I mean, obviously we're talking about the loading thing, which I think would be the perfect solution, but might be hard to implement. What if you could full on local host?
I mean, yeah, we need a LAN.
Like in Warcraft 3, you could just host on LAN.
Zero ping. Yeah.
What's the downside to that? Like, why do you think Valve are opposed to that idea? If they're worried about people tampering with the game and then hosting LAN or whatever, you know, you can give... you can give the, how to say, maybe you need to manually approve tournaments and they don't want to bother with that, but you could technically, you know, have a LAN mode that's only accessible if you give people a key, right? And you could give that key to tournament organizers that are running prestigious events and keep it at that, for example. So they have a LAN mode, because at that point, if the servers crash, it's on them.
Yeah, right? That's true. It's so rare, though, at the same time, right? Yeah, LAN mode would be preferable. I think the downside is then all of your, like, the entire game is reliant on this one computer that you're hosting it on locally,
yeah,
as opposed to something
I mean,
via
other,
the cloud.
There's other issues. Yeah, it's, you're right. It's not. There's nothing here that's bulletproof, but it's about who the responsibility is on at that point then, right? Anyway.
So, yeah. So, anyway, to make a long story short, Game of Gladiators beat Quest 2.0 in that series. I think the disconnect happened in Game 1. So, that was lower bracket. And then Game of Gladiators start going on a run. First, they beat... I should have mentioned... God, see, I fucking suck at this. The first round of the lower bracket, after they'd already lost to Team Liquid, they played Tundra. And that was an epic series where they come back and they said themselves that they feel like they should have lost that game. Fucking Snake King had like 10,000 gold that he didn't spend on Spirit Breaker. He was delaying the game for so long. And somehow Gaming Gladiators win that game. One of the craziest comebacks I've ever personally seen. And they felt like they had no pressure after that because they should have lost right then and there. So they continued this run. They 2-0 Quest. They 2-1 Bet Boom, which we'll talk about in a moment. And then they finally lose to Talon in the lower bracket. But Talon, if we reverse, they had a more interesting way to get to the lower bracket. So they 2-1. Oh, they 2-1 Quest in the upper bracket. Yep. Then the upper bracket semis, they play Liquid. Oh my God. This game. This game. I think I cast this game, if I'm not mistaken.
You did. That was the one I was referring to when I was saying you had an epic game.
I think I cast both upper bracket ones that were both epic. Talon versus Liquid, and then Spirit versus Betboom. So Talon in game three... Wait, was it game three? Let me double check.
Yeah, that was game three.
In game three, we're winning the game, and they should have won, but then 23 Savage takes his headphones off in celebration, and Zai on Broodmother TPs to Talon's base and starts backdooring them. Now, there's a lot of different ways to look at this. So, number one, 23 Savage taking off his headphones is certainly against the rules. Now, did he find out about Zai and his base because he heard it through the casters? Because you 100% can hear at that point. He took his headphones off and everything. Or did his team realize what was happening? So, he realizes last minute, oh my God, they're in my base. Zai's in the base. So he tries to TP suddenly, and he gets stunned with 0.3 seconds left on his channel from, I believe, Boxy. And Zai
stole an avalanche.
And Zai wins the game in incredible fashion. 100% they lose this game, Team Liquid. There's no way. If they just pay attention to what's going on, I don't think they win this game. So 23 Savage celebrating, mocking Team Liquid, you know, the SCA special. And then suddenly realizes they've lost the game and now they're in the lower bracket and he looks extremely depressed. It was on live stream fails. Genuinely felt terrible for him. And at the same time, it's now an iconic moment in Dota history, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's not really one you want to be known for, right? But he's going to be laughing at that in future
All right.
years.
And
I'm
chat's
sure.
reminding us that he used the glyph by accident, I think, when he was taking off his headphones or some
shit. Right, and that could have also made the difference. So there's a couple... I think there's even more, a little bit more layers to this from what I understand. The reason that he wanted to do the standing up and hands off the keyboard thing is that Mickey did that against Talon in a game, in a different tournament, where Liquid beat them. So I think he said prior to the game that if they were beating Liquid, he was going to do that or something like that. Or maybe he just told it to his teammates or in some sort of content. I don't know if he said it on air. But yeah, he felt like this one was in the bag, so he was going to do it. The game is never over until the throne falls is something we say for a reason, right? Like technically, you can come back and win impossible situations. And this is one of those moments where you kind of only have yourself to blame. Now, you open up an interesting situation here, because like you talked about, when he's standing up in celebration, his earphones come off or whatever. What if Talon had won? Then this would have been way more controversial, right?
That's true.
For the sake of that, at least with the outcome it had, this didn't end up being a big problem. But like, let's imagine he stands up, his earphones come out. He immediately realizes Zai is pushing his base. His TP completes instead of getting canceled, and he kills the Brood.
Yeah.
And they win the game.
Yeah.
What happens then, actually?
I think
it might have been a remake, or they might have been lost anyway.
I was thinking about that as well. Yeah,
they might have actually been assigned a death loss, to be honest, because you can't know for a fact whether he obtained information or not. It's kind of similar to the whole Pure situation from the last tournament we talked about, right? Where he had a stream open. There's no way of proving that stream was listened to or did any difference in the game, but you can't prove it didn't. So it's just against the rules. And this is similar. It's just against the rules to take your headphones off, because you could obtain information that can win you the game.
Yeah.
So in a way, fortunate, honestly, that Liquid ended up winning anyway. Because otherwise, this might have been a...
Yeah.
He might have felt even worse if they got a death loss after winning, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, it could have. Yeah, it's like, actually could have been worse. But the weird thing I
so
find,
that's how that
went. I think this is the only criticism I have basically of the entire tournament, is I think that he and they, in terms of talent, should have been penalized for their next match. Because you...
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just...
Could definitely make a case for
that.
I think
it sets a bad precedent that you're taking off your headphones and... Yeah, so anyway.
Could have been a soft one. Could have been a draft penalty, because ultimately they didn't end up winning.
Team Liquid wins 2-1 in epic fashion against Talon. They go to the upper bracket final. Team Spirit versus BetBoom. Oh my god. This series was insane as well. I don't think I've ever... Actually, I know I have never experienced a game like this as a caster or a spectator ever in Dota, where a team, in Team Spirit in this case, was down. It was 2-1, they win. Okay. Team Spirit beats BetBoom 2-1. They were down for over 95% of the entire series, and they won. BetBoom were up in all three games. Game two, let me double check which one they actually won.
BetBoom won the second game.
So game two, they won in 44 minutes. Game one, they lost in 44 minutes, but they were up probably 40 of those 44 minutes, if not the entire game. Like, I think one of the games, they were still up net worth-wise, and they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were up throughout the entire laning stage of every single game, and they just could not go high ground. And the last game was 72-minute epic fashion. They lose to Team Spirit. So they go to lower bracket, and then they end up losing to Gaming Gladiators, who they said they wanted to face off so badly against. So they're out. Yeah. And I picked them for top three. We'll talk about our predictions shortly after. Talon goes to the lower bracket, beats 9 Pandas. So that means Gaiman versus Talon. Talon defeats Gaiman Gladiator. So finally, Gaiman are out. They get top four, which is still really fucking good, but they're not going to be in the finals for the first time.
In half a year, right?
Yes.
Essentially half a year they've been in every finals.
So Team Spirit plays Team Liquid in the upper bracket finals. They beat them 2-1. So Team Spirit goes to the finals. Team Liquid goes to the lowers, and they have a rematch against Talon. And they crush them. This was
very one-sided series for the
mega
standards.
Mega stomp. So Team Liquid 2-0s Talon. They go back against Team Spirit. They win game one. And then Spirit wins the next three. So Spirit are your Riyadh Masters champions. They owned, man. I love this team. They're so fun to watch. They pick cool stuff, especially like Collapse with his axe and shit like that. Very fun team. And Mposhka just seems like a really down-to-earth guy. So happy to root for
them.
And
Liquid gets second again, lest we forget.
Right, so the meme.
Talk about a really impressive year for them as well, though, right? Like, obviously, people are talking about Gaming Gladiators because they won all the tournaments, but Liquid are consistently up there as well. Like, it's pretty incredible. It's also one of those things to think about, you know? Like, sometimes when people talk about... It's always the sport I'm going to be referencing, right? In tennis, where it's like, some truly outstanding players in history didn't get that many championships because they just happened to play at the same time as Prime Federer or Prime Nadal or Prime Djokovic, right?
Michael Jordan.
And it's just like, Liquid have been really fucking good this year, But they just were really good at the same time as Game and Gladiators were just insane, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like, you imagine this year without Gladiators in it, Liquid might have had 3 or 4 trophies, right? It's just, that's how it is. It's always relative to the competition. They have been second to no other team than them. They've just been second to them all the time. So that's,
and now Spirit.
If they can't overcome that and beat them, then they're going to keep. And I mean, now they've been second to someone else, which is no shame in losing to Spirit. They were definitely on fire this tournament. Hasn't been their most, they've been relatively quiet this year for their standards, I would say. But you always have this feeling with Spirit that any given tournament, if they get momentum, they could do it. They've done it before.
Yeah.
And it's a great time to do it for them, right? The stakes of this tournament were really high. So it's a good one to clutch out for them.
So yeah, that was the tournament from a team perspective. I want to talk about my experience now, if you don't mind. I was casting with Kezu, as you know, your boy, and now my boy. Yeah. He's hilarious.
Oh, he's your boy now.
Yeah, he's my boy now.
Okay.
He is absolutely hilarious. And so this was
he's kind of a clown.
This was kind of a perfect storm for the Bet Boom games. Because
oh yeah, you weren't allowed to call them Bet Boom or something, right?
So yeah, the I'm so sad that it's actually only for this tournament because it was so fun. So Bet Boom, first of all, any betting sponsors at all, whether it was on the jersey or whatever, they had to actually cover them up, right? And then Bet Boom being the one team that has the betting sponsor in their actual name, and it actually came up in the in-game still. That was never fixed. So we're told not to say Bet Boom. And people... Yeah, people are kind of all antsy about it. Like, not antsy. They're anxious because they don't want to say something they're not supposed to. They're in Saudi Arabia. In the end, like, maybe it's because I feel more comfortable because I used to live there, but I know they don't really care that much about it. Like, if you say it, you say it. Especially if it's on the fucking screen the whole time anyway. It's, like, not that big of a deal.
Yeah, that dichotomy is pretty weird.
That's more of a Valve feature where, like, because they tried to make a new team called BB, but then it still reverted, like the in-game name still reverted to their original. So anyway, we weren't allowed to say Bet Boom. So everybody's saying BB Team. I'm like, this fucking sounds so stupid. So Kezu and I started coming up with different names for BB. And he wrote down a big list as we kept compiling them each day and adding to them. And just coming up with like hilarious names. And the real trick, the hardest part about it, Sindarin, was not laughing. Like saying like banana boat team or whatever the fuck we came up with and then not laughing was the challenge, okay?
Right.
And most of the time we just couldn't look at each other because if we saw the other person after they said we're going to fucking die of laughter. So yeah, there was a couple that I completely lost it. I was doing so good. I didn't say Bet Boom the entire time, by the way. Kezu said it once, so get wrecked, Kezu.
Okay, nice.
But the entire time, I was doing so good. I was not laughing at any of the ridiculous shit I was saying. And then I said barbecue team, and I fucking could... I just started... I could not stop laughing. I said, all right, I banned myself from saying that one. And there was a couple other good ones. Like, sorry to make this a topic, but I just found it so funny. Because some of the talent asked us to do some of the names as well, eventually. Because it became like this meme. So BSJ is like, if you could say that was smooth like a baby's bottom team, that would be good. So I did that the next day, of course. But yeah, it was a lot of fun.
That's good.
And I next time we cast Bet Boom, you and I, like,
oh, you're gonna have to restrain yourself.
I have to, but it's sad because it's actually preferable to saying Bet Boom, honestly. But as for the actual experience overall, it was interesting. So we were in a room. We weren't on camera the entire time, which was great for me, even though I brought my jackets because they didn't tell me I wasn't going to be on camera. Didn't have to get makeup. Could just be my fat self, wear shorts, do whatever the fuck I wanted. It was great. It was actually a great experience. They have this enormous venue. I don't even know what to call it. It's crazy. It's like this... I mean, if you watch the tournament, you'll see like little shots here and there. Think of an outdoor mall, except huge. Like, I don't know how big it was because I didn't even get to walk around the whole thing, but it is enormous. It's almost like a fair, like where you go and, you know, the fairs that you have, local fairs, whatever, you can try to shoot basket hoop and or basketball into the hoop and you get like a plushie or something like that, like a bunch of different games just scattered throughout restaurants. There's an enormous, I think I posted a video on my Instagram, enormous circular food court, and there's two of those apparently. Like, I cannot begin to tell you how fucking huge this thing was. And they had a certain section for Gamers 8, which is like more gaming related stuff. But it was packed all the time. Like, once the sun started to go down, it was just packed with people constantly every day. Mm-hmm. And so that alone was pretty incredible. And they had like, if you guys have heard of a show called Peaky Blinders, I've never actually seen it, but
I've heard that name.
Yeah, I've seen it around or whatever. They had like a big building right next to where we're casting called Peaky Blinders. I'm like, what the hell is this? Apparently, some of the cast, which I think it's lower end cast, go to this, like, it's almost like an escape room type thing. Like, this is how they described it to me because I didn't get to go in because it wasn't out yet. It's like an escape room thing with the cast helping you out or something like that. Like, that's crazy. That's fucking crazy. And they change it every year. I guess last year it was Hannibal Lecter or something like that. So they constantly change the theme of a lot of these places and they start constructing things. Like one of the guys was telling me, Fancy. Fancy's was the Arabic commentator, not commentator, the host.
Host.
He did a really good job. And he gave us a tour around the area. Some of the area, at least. They had like a little Koreatown, for example. They had two big esports organization buildings, which one of them was called Falcon, I think, and the other one, I can't remember. It was like a YouTube team. But these buildings are enormous, and for this two-month period, the players or the streamers are living in the venue, and they have meet and greets all the time. They have a ton of different things to do with the people that show up. Like, it's completely fucking next level. Like, stuff that I've never even thought or imagined could be possible in the esports realm. Just insane.
I feel like this was hard to gauge. How big was the crowd? Because this sounds like the whole setup had the potential to be huge, but people didn't go? Or
think of it as a bunch of relatively big buildings scattered throughout an enormous area. We were in like the production area where the panel was and all that. And well, Kezu and I and Cap and SVG were like literally in just a small room by ourselves. It was like very not exciting. But then in another big building next door, that's where the crowd was. And when I say crowd, it's like 50 people. It's like not a big, it's like 50 to 100 people. It's like super small.
Was that the capacity or how many people went?
Capacity. It was not big.
What?
But that was just one like little section of it. We go to another part of the state, another section of that building, and we see there was another game they were doing. It was like PUBG Mobile or something, and we're looking at the screens. It's like, I cannot tell you how fucking massive this is, but again, crowd is not big. But yeah, it's hard to explain. I took some videos and some pictures, but... Mm-hmm. There was just a ton of stuff to do, and it's pretty incredible. And one of the things Fancy was telling me, he mentioned like that one of these esports orgs had their building made in 3 weeks. And I'm like, how is that literally possible? It's a big building, okay? Like from ground up, 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. He's like, this is how much money they're working with.
I mean, so, that also doesn't necessarily sound like that's safe.
No, just wait. So Saudi Arabia hires, this is how they explain it. They hired the four best construction companies in the world, and they each created teams that worked for 6 hours a day, every single day.
Okay.
So it's back to back to back. It's 24 hours straight of construction for 3 weeks. So if you put it together like that, it makes more sense. That's crazy. It's actually insane. So they just make these massive things out of nowhere. So it's almost like seasons. This is season 2 of Gamers 8. So next season, there's going to be different stuff that gets replaced or they move things here and there. It's almost like modular in a way, right?
I find it I guess I find it weird and at the same time not weird that there's no audience capacity if the, but like, if you're putting in this much effort and this much money into making this, why not make it like grandiose on an audience scale as well? Like when you build an arena or whatever. Like,
oh, maybe maybe there aren't enough people there.
Do they feel
there.
Like there's, yeah, that's like, is it just because the there's not enough locals that would go and watch and they wouldn't expect enough people to fly in to watch it? Maybe.
Possibly.
But that's just, it's very... That's just very unusual, I want to say, for something like this, that you invest this heavily in something like this, but you don't make it crowd-friendly whatsoever. So I have this, right. like, grandiose show with no audience.
No, it's definitely unusual.
Very unusual.
And something I didn't get to partake in because we were casting, there is a bigger arena area that seats 10,000 people, mm-hmm. and that's where Imagine Dragons showed up and had a concert, apparently.
I see.
So... Yeah, they definitely have the capacity to do something like that, but I would think that there's not enough people in that area that would want to watch Dota. Like, I know there's a prince that was watching a lot of the Dota that was, I don't know what prince it is, but watching a lot of the Dota mm-hmm. going on, which is pretty interesting. So yeah, that's that whole area that we were casting in, and then I'll quickly talk about my experience as a whole. I had the best shawarma I've ever had in my life, Sindarin. Okay, so let me tell you about this, okay?
Yeah.
Very important.
Yes.
I used to have amazing shawarmas in Saudi Arabia when I used to live there. Mm-hmm. It's been so long that you build it up in your head, and you're like, there's no way it can be that good, right? It's like, obviously, mm-hmm. it's just when I was a kid, it's nostalgic, whatever. So I get to Riyadh, and I start asking some people that are locals, what the best shawarma place is that I can go, because that's literally the only thing I care about is finding a nice place to eat. And I asked 4 people throughout my entire duration.
Mm-hmm.
They all give me the exact same place. It's called Mama Nura's. We go there, and I'm trying to remember like what I used to have. I know I used to have a chicken shawarma. I don't remember any of the ingredients. I don't remember if I had hot sauce or not, right? So we order the shawarmas, they're just chicken, and I open the hot sauce bottle that's on the table, and I smell it. Mm-hmm. Fucking instantly, all these memories flood into me that I didn't know I had. It's insane. Like, holy shit, this is the exact hot sauce I used to have. Then I put it on it, and I taste it, I'm like, holy fucking shit. I can't believe I remember this when I didn't know I had the memory mm-hmm. itself. Best shawarma I've ever had, easily. Very simple. It's in a pita, chicken, mm-hmm. From like the spindle or whatever they usually use, has garlic sauce in it, which was S tier, 1 Middle Eastern pickle, which is different than a regular pickle, very good, and then the hot sauce, that's it. Mm-hmm. Fucking S tier. They're like this big. How big would you say this is in centimeters?
That's very hard to gauge when I'm looking at a camera.
It's about the size of a penis. How big is a penis in centimeters?
How am I supposed to gauge from you holding up 2 fingers to a camera how far apart they are? I don't know how far away your face is right. from your fingers.
Whatever,
I don't fucking know.
Whatever this length is, it's not that big. They're relatively okay. small, but they were very cheap. They're less than $2, and I would eat 4 of them. I was fat. Most people would eat 3, but I had 4, and I gained a lot of weight. I went 4
I'm
different
sure there's
times.
No connection.
I went 4 times to this place, and I took different people with me every time. Kezu came with me 3 times. Everybody, almost, okay, not everybody, 90% of the people thought it was S tier and they wanted to keep coming. A couple people were like, it's very good, but not the best I've had.
Mm-hmm.
And then fucking Jack of all people said it was okay. And I asked him, what rating would you give it? He says 8 out of 10. Like, you give, how is that okay? Is it fucking 8 out of 10? Fuck you, Jack. You suck.
No, but that's the thing that's happened over time, right? When we were kids, Shannon, okay was 5 out of 10, right?
Yeah.
That's okay. That's like average. That's fine. Nowadays, if something isn't a 10 out of 10 or a 9 out of 10, it's not even worth mentioning it, you know?
Mm.
Like, I don't know when this kind of happened. I'm going to sound very old right now, but I feel like at some point in our lives, the way people rate things and what is considered all right or good value has really shifted. Like, it's completely fine to go for something that's like a 7 or an 8 out of 10. That can be really good. It could be an exceptional value, and it doesn't make it bad that it's not a 10 out of 10, because if everything you're going for is a 10 out of 10, you're going to be disappointed almost every single time, because guess what? What makes a 10 out of 10 is the fact that it is outstanding. So that's not what you're going to get most of the time. That's why 10 out of 10s are so fucking cool, is when you find it. Like Hades. Like a game that, out of nowhere, you're like, holy shit, this game is fucking incredible for what it cost, for what amount of effort was put into it or whatever. What amount of money they had to make it with. And it's the same with food. It's like, sometimes you go somewhere, it's relatively cheap, but it's really fucking good. I would say, so we went in Berlin, right? We went to this kebab place or Durum place. Döner place, they call it there. What was it called? Something with T.
I can't remember either.
I don't remember the exact name, but we went there and it was relatively cheap, but it was really good value, right?
Mm.
Would I say it's some of the best food I've ever had in my life? No, but it was really fucking good value. So, I mean, well, that's great.
This
right?
was some of the best food I've ever had and it was cheap. But
yeah, I mean, that's
partly nostalgic probably as well. But Kezu agrees with me. A bunch of people agree with me. S tier. Okay, S tier.
If you don't think it's the best ever, you think it's like, okay, an 8 out of 10 is not okay. Let's just establish that, okay? An 8 out of 10 is bare minimum good or very good.
I would say it's very good, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
8 out of 10 is very good.
9 out of 10 is outstanding, and 10 out of 10 is the best you've ever had of something, right?
That's right. So,
yeah, fucking Jack, man. Can't trust that guy.
So there was.
We'll never have him as a guest on the podcast again.
That's right, never again. That's the only reason why. So I went next door, which they had like a little grocery store, and I bought the hot sauce and I brought it back home with me. It's called Crystal.
Oh.
And I looked it up on Amazon and they have the same company. But the things that they're selling are, it says it's Louisiana. They theme it as being from Louisiana. So I don't know if it's
the exact same product.
I don't know. No. I'm going to order it and then I'm going to compare.
It's entirely possible, because this is what happens with a lot of other foods in America, right? Is that the American version is sweeter.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just a thing for a lot of products. So it's possible you can't get, even if there's something that is supposedly the same product. We've talked about this with even something as basic, you would think, as a Snickers bar is different.
It's not the same. Yeah.
In America and in Europe. It's just a different product. So, or I say Europe, I don't think it's every country, but the Danish Snickers and the Swedish Snickers, we both agree, are definitely different from the American ones.
Yeah.
Because you've been to Sweden a couple of times in the studio.
That's right. Their Snickers suck ass.
Yeah, so they're better than the American ones. There you go. It's palate, right?
That's the shawarma story. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Saudi Arabia in general. So,
oh, yeah, because last time you were there was when?
Okay, so I was 10 years old. That's when I moved back to the U.S.
That's okay, so like 50 years ago?
Close. 27 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was very hot, but I come from Arizona, so it was actually exactly the same weather. And so I guess some things that I didn't know if they had changed, because I don't really keep up with how things are in Saudi Arabia, but I remember not liking a few things. And a lot of it has been changed. So I will say this. So the bad things, they're, you know, the human rights issue with like women, it's gotten a lot better. I will say that, but it's still not where we'd like it to be, of course. But the things that have dramatically changed, first of all, it's been westernized way more than I was anticipating. Now, keep in mind, I've never been to Riyadh before. The area that I lived in was not close, but either way, there are so many fast food chains and restaurant chains that are Western based that it blew my mind. Like basically everything, you can find almost anything there now. Also a couple things that really scared me as a kid are not there anymore. There was these things called matawas, aka the religious police, which would walk around with their huge beards, and they'd literally be holding AK-47s and they'd be coupled with like a police officer to keep the peace, quote unquote. That always scared the shit out of me. Those were banned like over a decade ago, I think. So that's no longer a thing. And I always heard stories. I never saw it myself, but this was a thing back in the day that they didn't really have trials so much as they would, if somebody stole something, they'd round them up and they'd gather people around in the market or wherever and they'd chop their hand off. And if somebody was accused of murder or adultery or something like that, they'd do the same thing, except they'd chop their head off in front of everybody, whoever's just nearby. They'd create a circular. Apparently, they don't do that anymore. So that's good. progress. It is, though. Like, a lot of these Middle Eastern countries are very slow to progress. And I would say Saudi Arabia, based on my experience, as, and this is not, sounds like I'm sponsored by Saudi Arabia. This is genuinely how I feel. It has gotten so much better than I remember that it is definitely good progress so far. Still some work to do, of course. But overall, I was really happy with the experience. I had a lot of fun, like just being in the country that I was born in. It was very cool. I wish I could have gone out more and done stuff, but people weren't as receptive, or either that or they were just too busy to go with me. Other than for shawarma, of course. If there was shawarma, then occasionally people would come. There's a city called Diarrhea that I really wanted to go to, but
wanted to take like one of those old like road trip pictures of you standing next to the sign and pointing at it, right? Or did you want to actually take a shit on the sign?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure. Diarrhea.
It seems like
next time I'm in Riyadh, go to Diarrhea.
If you do that in public, they might cut off your butt cheeks, though.
That's right. You do have to be careful. So that was the Riyadh Masters. I had a hell of a lot of fun. Very nostalgic. I really wanted to go. I wanted my brother to come so we could, you know, extend our trip and check out our actual hometown that I actually grew up in. But his work did not give him the time off. So that will have to wait for another time. So, okay. Next topic. Real briefly, I wanted to give a shout out to Slacks because he came out with an SFM during the tournament, a 10-year anniversary Dota SFM. Have you seen it?
No.
Oh my God. Okay, well, I should have asked you beforehand. I'll link it in the description. I guess it's just a quick one then. The best SFM that's ever been made. It's, as I said, a 10-year anniversary. It goes through, I mean, I'm not going to spoil it. You guys just have to watch it. It's actually the best SFM ever made. Incredible. Really, really well done. And it's too bad Valve didn't come out with something. That would have been perfect if it was Valve. But either way, it was still really good. Unbelievably good. Okay. Next topic. Wanted to briefly discuss Grubby syndrome.
Oh.
So Grubby has reached Divine after roughly 300 days of playing Dota. That's pretty fucking impressive. I figured we'd talk about that for a little bit. I don't know if we made predictions. I don't think we did when he first came.
We definitely did not make predictions on Grubby. We made predictions on the tournament, though, that we didn't go over at all.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we'll go over that after the Grubby.
Sure.
I mean, when we first talked about Grubby, when he first came on the scene, we were really excited, and I'm really happy he's been continuing to play. I did not expect him to get Divine this fast, though. I don't know about you. That seems pretty damn fast.
How much MMR is Divine?
I don't know.
I don't really know the medals.
Let's say it's 4.7K.
Is it that high?
Something like that.
4.7. Okay. Chat saying 4.5. Everything between 4.5 to 6K.
It's definitely not 6K. No.
It's not 6K. 6K is immortal, I think. Low immortal. Or divine 5 at the bare minimum. Did I expect... Am I surprised? No. Absolutely not. Because I don't know if you ascribe or subscribe to this idea of something like... I remember talking to a friend of mine about this a while back, about like game IQ, you know? Like some people are just quote unquote good at games. That's also what you say, right? If you've been an elite player in any video game, I would dare say this, if you've been an elite player in any video game ever, you will be good at games. I just think it's not possible to become incredibly good in one game and have no game sense in general in other games. What that means is, if you're an exceptional Warcraft 3 player, which he was, and also very good in Starcraft 2, or if you're insane at FIFA, I think if you're that good at a game...
I disagree.
You have an inherent... How to say? I would say you have an inherent understanding of how to acquire skill in games. Then it's about whether you want to do it or not. So, for example, I have played a shitload of Dota. I'm good at Dota. When I go into a new game, I might start off slow, but then you reach some sort of level of understanding, and then you can put a lot of the concepts and understanding of games in general that you have into place. I'm not good at Counter-Strike. I understand what it takes to be good at Counter-Strike, but you need to put in a shitload of effort, obviously, to get good, right? And I don't play the game very much. Grubby played a lot of Dota, and he's good at games, and he had multiple things going his way. First of all, he's good at games. He put in a shitload of time and effort. He had a very open-minded learning mindset, so he was actively trying to improve every day. A lot of people just play games for fun, which is completely fine.
That's me.
He was trying to get better. He had coaching from elite players, which is obviously a huge shortcut. So if you add all of those things together, I'm not really surprised he made Divine in a year. I think it's a really great accomplishment that most people wouldn't, but I'm not surprised Grubby was able to do it, to be honest.
Okay, so this is where I'm going to...
did you disagree with about games that I said?
Yeah, so first of all, congrats to Grubby. I don't disagree with...
Yeah, congrats, of course. Like,
I mean, I never really thought about how long it would take him to get Divine, but...
Mm-hmm. Was that his goal, or...?
I think he wants to get to Immortal, is what I understand. Okay. But under a year, very impressive. Okay, so back to the top. I disagree that if you're good at one game, you're going to be good at another. Now, from Grubby's perspective, like mm-hmm. Warcraft, Starcraft, all these types of games, I think they directly relate to Dota.
Okay.
I think if you pass by enough genres, I don't think it's that helpful anymore. To some degree, I understand what you're saying. I think in a small sense, maybe there's something extra there. But I don't... Like, if let's say... Somebody's 20 years old and they're really good at FPS games. I don't think that necessarily means that they will ever be good at like Dota, for example.
Okay, let me explain it fully, then maybe you'll agree more or maybe you won't. But he is elite in one game, okay? He was like top 0.001% whatever of Warcraft 3 players, right, at the time. So he was like absolute world elite. It was a very popular game. He was among the best of the best. He is not elite in Dota. I'm not saying because he was an outstanding elite player in Warcraft 3, he can go pro in Dota. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're elite in one game, you should be able to get at least decent at every game. That's my opinion. It's like, because like...
Well, now you've lowered the bar quite a bit when what you said.
No, because that's not what I said. I didn't say he was elite in Warcraft 3, therefore he's going to be elite in Dota. That's not what I said. I said if you're elite in one game, you will be good at games in general. And... Divine, how good is it, right? Then we're going to have like these discussions of, okay, because like if somebody asks you, are you good at bowling? Are you good at pool? Are you good at basketball? Like, how do you answer? It's like, I'm pretty good, you know, I'm better than many people. I'm not better than the good ones. Like, there's obviously a huge step up to actual good players, but I'm decent. Like, where are you if you're Divine? Is that like top 2% of players? Top 3% of players, maybe?
I don't know.
Like this? So it's definitely very good, but it's not even remotely close to the actually really good players, right? Like Grubby will get his ass handed to him by a lot of players around the world. And he will, if he continues his current work ethic for multiple years, he will probably still not be an elite player. So, but with that said, he's still good at the game, right? Compared to the amount of time he's put in. And that's what I was going to say. If he put in, okay, let me explain it this way. If he put in the same amount of time and effort as he did in Dota in any other video game, I think he would be a similar rank in that video game.
Disagree.
If he really tried to play FIFA for 300 days and really put an effort,
yeah,
I think he would probably be Divine in FIFA in 300 days.
I think
he could be Divine in CSGO in 300 days.
I don't think that's
true. The skill sets are not identical. There are some games you're inherently going to be better at than others, right? Of course. So, like...
I think
his skill set is good for Dota, so he will be better at Dota than he would at the other games I just mentioned.
So
but I think
what you're, I feel like what you're trying to say is you're taking the work ethic part from being a really good player at something.
The dedication and his game sense, right?
Yeah, but I think
hard to imagine.
You take the best work ethic in the world and put it on just some random person. Doesn't mean they can be. I think some people just cannot be good at certain games. Period. That's how.
What do you consider good?
Like really good, elite.
Okay, he's not really good at Dota.
He's good. I think. Yeah. You're saying if somebody is elite in one game, then they will be good at every game if they want to be, and I disagree with that. There's no way that's true.
If Divine is good, then I think he could be good in any game. Yes.
Okay.
I think so.
I'm interested to see what our chat.
What type of game do you think Grubby could not be good in?
Well, first of all, it's not about Grubby. Okay, this is just a hypothetical person. I think like taking somebody in Dota, Warcraft, like these strategy games, and putting them in an FPS game, they could be good. But you're saying they will be good if they want to be, and I don't think that's true. I think plenty of people would want to be good in an FPS game that play strategy, that fucking blow ass, and vice versa. I don't think it translates at all.
Let me give you a hypothetical example. Do you think there's a Dota Pro total elite player right now that you give 300 days of playing Counter-Strike, 6 hours a day, they get coaching, and they overall are really trying to get better at the game, and they will still be shit? Do you think there's any pro player in Dota that wouldn't be at least good at Counter-Strike after a full year of really trying to get better? Do you actually think so?
I think some would be shit still, yeah.
Like, what do you consider shit? Like, you think some would still be, like, silver or...
Yeah, silver or gold.
After 300 days of genuinely trying to get better. So do you think so?
Divine in Dota is, like... Is that, like, Eagle in CS? Is that roughly equivalent?
DMG, maybe? Or the rank above? What's the rank above DMG?
There's, like, two Eagles, and then there's, like, the big boy one, which is Immortal, right? So I think Divine is similar to the Eagles. That's how I remember it. Maybe things have changed. So no, I think a lot of players would not make it to Eagle at all. Especially since it's a game that is so evolved, right? It's been out for so long. It's not like you're starting out. It's not like you're playing Neon Prime at the start with everybody else. Hey, this is an interesting topic.
I would definitely say that any elite player in any game can apply their work ethic and skills to at least get to that kind of level in a game if they commit that much time and effort. And I'm not saying that to take this away from Grubby and be like, oh, anybody could do that. That is not the line I'm going for here. It's more like this is a really, for me, this is a great proof of concept of how people that are exceptionally good at games can transfer their skills. And maybe it's unfair because it's Warcraft to Dota. There's like some overlap, right? He's good with certain micro aspects of the game because he's microed a lot in Warcraft 3, etc. So yeah, he might not have been as good in an FPS as he is in Dota after 300 days.
But
I think it would be probably pretty
close. Let's go to an extreme, okay? This is what I would consider to be an extreme. Mm-hmm. Take somebody, I don't want to name names. Let's say a big streamer in Call of Duty Modern, whatever the fuck the newest game is that's the PUBG equivalent for Call of Duty.
Okay.
They play on a controller. You take that person that's really fucking good at the game and have them play Dota for 300 days. They try really hard. I would say chances are they're going to be fucking absolute garbage after 300 days still. Like, they would be, at best, what's like legend? At best, legend.
Is that what comes below Divine?
Divine,
or that's ancient, right?
Legend.
So legend is like 3K?
You're taking a guy that plays controller, uses a fucking controller in an FPS game, has never played a strategy game in his life, and you're saying in 300 days, they could be
I just
Divine.
Completely disagree. If they put in effort and they get...
I'm not saying...
I mean, the coaching is even an extra aspect here. Sure. Like, let's not even take that as part of the equation, but that obviously helps as well, right? But if you're really determined to get better at a video game and you have the work ethic and the understanding of how to acquire skills, which you must have in order to get better at a game, you have to understand how to get better or it doesn't just happen, right? I just... I just don't think so.
I think there are
this
plenty
would be
of
a
people.
Really interesting experiment to run, but like nobody's going to sign up for it.
Nobody
right?
wants to
oh,
play
yeah,
Dota.
Just play a
yeah.
year.
Nobody wants to play Dota.
Not I in think, any game, right?
I think just there's plenty of people.
You need to want to, right?
I think there's plenty of people that would be able to do it. So what are we arguing about? You say every single one of them could do it, and I vehemently disagree with that.
I think if you're elite in any video game, you have good game IQ, and therefore you will be able to become good at any game. Not elite at every game, but you will be able to become good. Because the people you're playing against, the player pool, the vast majority of them don't have your talent in games in general.
Mm.
So that means their ceiling of where they're going to get to, with the amount of time they're willing to put in, with the amount of approach, the approach they generally have to game, with the amount of everything, you will be able to reach their level way faster, and you will plateau way higher than a lot of players.
Let's switch to a different topic. Real life sports, traditional sports. You take an elite basketball player and tell them to play soccer. I think plenty of them will still fucking suck balls after 300 days.
I think they will be way better than people that are not elite in another sport.
The only reason in that case that they'd be, well, of course, because you're talking about world-class athletes that are already in shape, right? Take that aspect out of it, just the skill.
Okay. How do you do that? That's part of being good at sports is having the body. That's an undeniable part of the game.
Yeah, but the body doesn't exist in esports. The body doesn't exist. That's why I'm trying to eliminate that aspect.
Sure. That's also why the comparison doesn't really make sense.
Because there's no... Jesus Christ. All right, just let us know who you agree with. We're going on too long with this fucking garbage-ass topic. It's supposed to be a congratulatory thing for Mr. Grubby.
Yeah.
Who apparently could have easily gotten divine after 300
this
days.
This is very impressive, and the reason he's able to do this is that he is very good at games. He put in the time and effort, and he tried to get better. If people don't try the way he did, you're not going to put any ex-pro of any game into Dota, give them 300 days, and they're going to reach his level. He did it because he genuinely really tried and because he's talented and skilled. So this is still, all things considered, though, we just talked about. I think this is a remarkable achievement, personally. But the reason I'm not surprised is that I hold this guy in high regard, and I was expecting he would be able to do something like this. So he has a great attitude for getting better.
I agree with that because he played other strategy games before.
Understood.
Okay. All right. I think we've hit our limit for the podcast today. Appreciate it, everybody. These other topics that we have, they can just roll over to the next week. They're not, it's Twitter.
Everybody wants to hear about Twitter becoming X. Next week. This is pressing you.
I feel like I want to delete this topic. I just never want to mention this idiot's name ever again on the podcast.
I wish I could go back in time 15 minutes and not talk about Grubby so we could spend 15 minutes talking about Twitter becoming X.
Yeah. All right. Make sure you guys watch this VOD on YouTube and you'll be able to see the X on X.com being X'd out. I don't even know what adjectives to use for this fucking garbage thing. You know what? I'm deleting that topic. This is us talking about it. So congratulations to
Elon. We mentioned it. He's congrats, done it. Twitter.
Yeah. All right. Until next time, Suns fan Sinner and signing out. Peace out, everybody. Peace.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe.
Thanks for listening.
And follow us on X.